This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Amber Walsh. Amber heads up the healthcare department at McGuire Woods. She's a long-term partner there. She also spends about 90% of her time at the intersection of private equity and healthcare. She's going to talk about what she's seeing right now in terms of deal activity, deal flow. Is it busy? Is it not busy? Is it small? Is it big? Is it practice-driven? Is it technology-driven? Amber, let me turn it to you. What are you seeing today in terms of the deal world with private equity and so forth?
It continues to be so, so busy. And everything that we anticipated happening as we were coming into the end of 2020, as 2021 was kicking off, everything we were seeing then has continued. And that is just an incredible amount of activity, deal activity. You've seen a lot of fundraising. So I just saw a report on Q1 fundraising that 97 U.S. funds raised $88.5 billion in Q1. And that's not healthcare specific. That's across all private equity. But you've also seen just so much activity in terms of large platforms, exits, sales to public companies. You've seen a lot of add-on activity, that kind of organic growth of doing smaller add-on transactions to build up platforms. And a lot of it is driven by tax concerns,
How much of it is driven by sellers and platforms deciding, oh my God, they should do something before capital gains rates go up? Is there a lot of that? Is that just one of the motivating factors? What do you see out there?
I think that's just one of the motivating factors, but it is a real issue, and it is something that really is driving a lot of activity. It's forcing sellers who knew they had a potential go-to-market transaction sometime in the near future deciding, why wait? Now, those who are on the cusp and just hadn't decided if it was quite time. And you see investment bankers and other professionals who are very much involved in pushing deal volume. You see them talking to potential seller clients as well about that. And it's a very real thing, probably the most significant, but not the only driver of activity right now.
And what else is driving activity? How much are people concerned about the interest rates going up? I mean, you know, the Fed yesterday said it won't be for a couple more years. What do you sort of see there? Is that, or is it just such a frothy market that people are excited to cash out while they can, or people see a couple more great years of this?
Yeah, I think a very frothy market is exactly right. Sellers are afraid to miss out on the height of the market. And there's a great fear that not only will things change, like cap gains tax rates, but that there will be a quelling of interest in, and now we're talking more specifically to healthcare private equity, that there'll be a quelling of interest in healthcare. I don't see it, frankly. You know, private equity has had an interest in healthcare for so long, and there have been new ideas and exciting things to invest in, like the technology, the digital health, the value-based care. You know, there's still so much fragmentation in so many different subsectors that I have a hard time envisioning private equity losing its appetite for healthcare anytime soon. But that is a fear of sellers, that when you couple that with tax concerns and how high multiples are right now across healthcare, it makes it really hard for a seller to consider, you know, just wait a couple years and see what happens. That feels to them like an excessively risky decision.
Like scary, in case multiples go down, taxes go up. And there's a couple different things that could have a real ding on somebody's take-home proceeds as a seller. And so you see those two things, potential for the multiples to come down. And when they come down, they often stay down for a long time. And some people that are looking at selling are in an age range where they're scared to wait too long, right? And then it depends on who they are and what their situation is. And then you do have the potential for taxes going up. So it leads to a lot of combustion.
Absolutely. I agree.
And what are some of the most interesting things that you're watching? I mean, are there any particular things that you're watching and you think like, God, that's really interesting? Anything along those lines?
I'll mention a couple of things. One is it shouldn't be surprising. I would say it is satisfying to see. And that is the exits of several of these surgical specialty platforms, these PPM businesses that have grown up and built through adding several different practices in several different geographic markets to create these nice sized platforms, now going through their exit and are able to, you know, through that exit, they're able to fulfill some commitments that they made to those physician sellers along the way to say, hey, you join us, come along for the ride, help us build something really great here, and you will be a part of that exit as well. And it is satisfying to see that happen. And it helps a potential seller physician practice, and it doesn't matter if they have surgery centers or dialysis or anything else along with it, but those who are considering a practice sell to really say, okay, this happens. It does happen that I can be part of a building platform that really will then have a very nice sale several years from now. So that's something that I'm seeing a lot of, and it is really interesting. And I think it can only serve to kind of continue that that cycle of private equity investing in physician practice management.
Fantastic. The fact that some things have gone well gives more comfort that they'll keep on going well.
Exactly.
No, just a fascinating perspective. I thank you very much for sharing that with us. So to summarize, a very busy deal market, somewhat driven by potential tax changes, potential concerns that multiples will only stay high, and then a lot of continued success and a lot of big fundraising. You mentioned an insane amount of fundraising in the first quarter of this year, another $90 billion or so raised, 88 different funds, something like that. And that's not even to mention the mega funds. So insane amount of fundraising to go with a very busy market. Amber Walsh, always brilliant. Thank you for taking the time to visit with us today on the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thank you very much.